Well, we've come to the end of the book of Daniel, and now today's a day to do a little recap, capturing just one element I hope that all of us grabbed hold of. But first of all, I'd like you to just look at our title slide picture. You see that on the screens? We're trying to capture what I was envisioning here was that all of us are walking through life, and God is giving those that want to see, that have eyes to see, a bright and beautiful future. But as we're walking, you can feel the swirling clouds. You can see the darkness that we are experiencing, the challenges of life. And there's all of this happening, and Daniel picks it all up. And we've been talking about the spiritual warfare, the nature of life, the challenges, the troubles, the suffering. All of that is captured by these dark, swirling clouds as we walk through life towards God's unimaginable plan, his future plan for all of us that follow Jesus Christ. But to give us a little more of a picture, I wanted to give you this picture of a tree, and immediately you'll recognize it as a Christmas tree. And it's the only picture I could grab hold of that is capturing what I want to see happen, or what the Bible is doing. I put the words here that the way the Hebrew Bible is put together. When I say the Hebrew Bible, Christians talk about the Old Testament a little different than Judaism does. Judaism looks at the Bible in three, the Old Testament, in three sections. And the first is the Torah. Those are the books of Moses. And Moses is the great prophet, and he writes the first five books of the Bible, and he starts telling us that God has a plan. But it's got hints, and I've shared some of these before, so I don't want to get into the weeds on some of these in the Pentateuch, the first five books, but Moses is already pointing us in the direction of where Daniel takes us in more detail. Then you have the prophets, and I told you, the prophets always are building on what Moses wrote. That's why it's a string. It's a string of lights, just like when you put your Christmas tree together. You got your string, and then you attached another string, and then another string of lights. That's what's happened. You got the first string of Moses, then there's another bunch of strings with the prophets. And they just start filling out more and more, giving us more detail about what God is doing in the world. And then you get the writings. The writings is another group of strands, if you will, of strings of God explaining even more detail, building off of Moses, building off the prophets, and putting all of this together. In the Christian Old Testament Bible, we look at Daniel as under the prophets. In the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, it's under the writings. So I put Daniel between the two of them because he's really a writing, but he's full of prophecy and apocalyptic writing at that. So we get to see all of this. Now, I need you to follow with me just a little further before we dig into Daniel the last time, is remember after the resurrection. Remember, Jesus rose from the dead, and later in the day, there was a group of people, they're walking down the road. This is found in Luke chapter 24, on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus is walking on the road with these people, and they don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. But Jesus does something. He starts explaining the Torah. He starts explaining the prophets. He starts explaining the writings. He's bringing all of this together, showing that the Bible, the Old Testament, was pointing to himself, to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So you're going to hear me use words like Christ today. You're going to hear the readings talk about the Anointed One. Sometimes translations will have Messiah. All of those are the same. Christ, Anointed One, Messiah, all of those are the same. So here's a summary of this tree that you have in front of you. If you want to know who Jesus is, you need to read the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, because they're helping us understand Jesus. But wait a minute, it flips the other way. If you want to understand the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, you need to look at the life of Jesus. because all of it is about Jesus Christ. He's the pinnacle. You see him at the top, the true Son. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. This morning, we're going to look at this thing called Christ sightings. Now, put this in context. Daniel is written 600 years before Jesus comes. So what we're going to read in a couple minutes here is not a normal book. Oh, there's books where authors are inspired. There's books and paintings and sculptures and all kinds of artwork where the people are inspired. I'm not talking about that kind of inspiration. I'm talking about an inspiration, a move of the Holy Spirit where they get to see something way beyond this world. So when we read Daniel, we're looking way deeper and way beyond anything this world can see or explain. So as I thought about Christ's sightings, why did God reveal to Daniel the Messiah, the promised one, as deeply as he did? I wrote down just a few. God wants you and me to see that he is in control of history. That's why it's so important to read Daniel as a prophetic book. He wants you and me to see that this book, the Bible, Daniel specifically, God wants you and me to know he's in control. And boy, is that a comforting word today in a world that is topsy-turvy, a world that is on fire, a world that is confused and in chaos. Secondly, God wants to kindle your imagination. Do you know he gave you an imagination? He gave you a creative mind so that you could anticipate with greater vigor, greater pictures of what he wants to do. So Daniel, through apocalyptic literature, remember apocalyptic uses pictures, and they stack picture on top of pictures so that we'll get this great view of what God is doing. So he wants to do that. Thirdly, he wants to give you and me hope. Hope is slipping away from this world. My messages the next 2 weeks on Palm Sunday and Easter are going to be all about hope. God just burdened my heart that we're living in a world that is losing hope because of where things are going. Daniel gives us hope. Four, he wants you and me to know more about the Christ. And now we know Jesus Christ. Now, why did he want us to know more? Because remember what it said in Daniel chapter 11, verse 27. Those women, those men, those students that know their God do great things for God. So God wants you and me to know what he's up to. He wants you and me to be brought in. And of course, Jesus talked about that, that friends know what the master's doing. Here's the last thing I wrote down. It's only through Jesus Christ that life's biggest questions get answered. The biggest questions. Is there a God? It gets answered. Why am I here? It gets answered. And who am I? Gets answered. We begin to understand why God made us, what he wants to do in our lives. He gives us purpose and meaning, and he fills us. He infuses our lives with value. So those are a few things. If you have your Bible, if you have your device, your hands should start shaking about this time. You should start be thinking that this is a spirit-filled book. This is a spirit-filled moment. If you can get into Daniel chapter 2, we're going to just look at a couple verses, the first Christ sighting, as we look at this. Now, remember in Daniel chapter 2, there's a statue. There's a dream. King Nebuchadnezzar, he's the one that came into Israel. He's the one that came into Jerusalem, and he conquered the Israelites, and he gets a dream. And his dream is this picture. But Nebuchadnezzar's no fool. He doesn't conquer the world and have as much power by being a fool. So he gets this dream, and it says that he's terrified. He's troubled by this dream. And so he goes to the magicians, he goes to the enchanters, he goes to the astrologers. But instead of giving them the dream, he says, you tell me the dream, and then tell me the meaning. See, anybody could make up a meaning, but he knows, you tell me the dream and tell me the meaning. Well, nobody could do that. The enchanters, the astrologers, all these sorcerers, they're saying, nobody can do this, king. You're crazy. Well, they didn't tell that because they lose their heads, right? So they can't do that. But there's someone in the kingdom that can. A new conquered person, and it's Daniel. The first thing Daniel does is he says to his friends, start praying. Pray that God would reveal what the dream is and the meaning of it. And God does that. But here's the dream, that there's this head of gold, and that's the Babylonian Empire. That's King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. He thinks no one's greater. No one will ever be more powerful than him. But in this dream, there is someone coming. It's the Medo-Persian Empire. And they're going to conquer the Babylonians. And that's exactly what happens. And that's what we see with Cyrus as we were reading Daniel. Then there's going to be the Greek Empire. And we read all about that in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 11 is that there's going to be even another empire. So it's empire after empire after empire. And then there's the Roman Empire that follows. All of that. And so now let's look at the first Christ sighting, Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. It says this, while you were watching, speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, while you were watching your dream, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. That's significant, isn't it? This rock that's cut out of this mountain is not by human hands. There's something mysterious happening. There's something divine happening. There's something powerful happening as we read this. It struck the statue that you just looked at, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greek Empire. Look what it says here, a statue on the feet of iron and clay and smashed all of them. Then the iron, then the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. So this rock is the kingdom of Christ. Remember, the statue is all kingdoms. There's now this rock that's going to smash all these kingdoms apart. And it says that the whole earth is going to be filled with this kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what's happening. That's what the rock is. But what does it all mean for the king? Well, the king takes this away. All the king built will be destroyed. All King Nebuchadnezzar built will be destroyed. Think about that. He's just conquered the entire known world at that time. He is the top dog. He is on the top of all people. And he's being told, everything you've poured your life into is going to be taken away. Everything you spent your life building and storing up is going to be taken away. It's a good time to pause, isn't it? That's why I put the question there. What are you building? Don't get past that question too quickly. What is it you're living for? We just prayed. We just prayed before this message that God would make this a practical message. And so now it comes down to you. What are you living for? As you work, why are you working? Why are you amassing wealth? Why did you buy a home? Why do you buy cars and the kind of cars and the kind of clothes and the things that you're doing? No guilt trip here. I'm just asking the question, what's your life about? Because King Nebuchadnezzar built a lot and all of it was taken away. Well, we need a little help in answering that question, don't we? I think 1 Corinthians chapter 3 will help us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 just a moment, verses 10 to 15. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. Are you going to be a wise builder of your life and what you're trying to do? And someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're back to the Messiah. We're back to the Christ, Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Nebuchadnezzar's work was shown for what it is. This should make us tremble just for a moment. What will our work show? Because the day will bring it to light. The day is the day Jesus returns. The day the Messiah comes back, as we read in Daniel, and establishes his final kingdom. It will all be brought in the light. And then look, the last statement, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Let me continue. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Do you want a reward? Do you want God to reward you because you invested your life, your time, your treasures, your talents in the things that matter to Him? If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but you will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So are you building for eternal things? That's the point. Is the bulk of your life, I'm going to work so that I can have a kingdom impact at my workplace. I'm going to work so that I can earn some money to provide for my family, to raise up a godly tribe. I'm going to work so that I can earn some money to give it to missionaries to further the kingdom work. Am I going to work to make an eternal difference? And then let me just say, whatever is not done by faith is going to burn. So there's a time to say, God, over and over, what do you want me to do? Now let's look at different stages of life just for a moment. If you're on the young side of life and you're just starting to build, it's a good time to start building appropriately and saying, I'm going to give a portion of what God enabled me to earn to kingdom purposes. I'm going to give as a part of my life and family things that have an eternal impact. As you get older and you have children, you're asking yourself, am I training up my children in the faith? Am I showing them not only in words but in my lifestyle that the King really matters? Kids can cut through the nonsense. They can see if you're going through the motions. They can see the sacrifice that you make. If you spend more money on a vacation than you will on kingdom impact, your kids will see it and they will know. They will know if you're just going through the motions and you're here just to be at church. Or are you here to hear from God? Because God is speaking right now. God is speaking through the power of His Spirit. This word is living and active, and it cuts to the very quick of our being. Kids see this. They know it. And they're hungering for the same things our souls are hungering for. Something eternal. Something that is lasting. Something that is permanent. Something that is pure gold. And I don't mean money. This is what God is showing us this morning through this. If you're in the later stages of life, you've now worked your life and you've been blessed with some resources, you are accountable for what you're going to do with those resources. Our culture just says, oh, pass them on, give them away to your kids. I'm saying hit the brakes, ask yourself, ask God, is this why he gave you the money? Is this why God allowed you to build some wealth? Because it was him. All you have to do is read Deuteronomy. Over and over, don't forget who gave you the ability to create some wealth. Don't forget who gave you the wealth. Don't forget he's got some plans for it. And it's time for us to think differently than the way the world thinks. You can invest in eternal things beyond the grave. I had a dear friend not too long ago. God blessed him. He started out as a truck driver. And he rose all the way up to the vice president of the company, an international company, making millions of dollars a year. And he set up all his money to go into a foundation. The millions that God allowed him to make so that it continued to go into kingdom purposes. And I asked him, I said, now what about your kids? Unfortunately, some of his kids were far from God. And he said, they're not living for kingdom purposes. He saw clearly, more clearly than most, that God had given him things for a purpose. So this Christ sighting, written 600 years before Jesus was here, is speaking into our hearts about how to live. But let's get to the next Christ sighting. We find that in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. In my vision at night, here's another vision, I looked, and there before me, this is Daniel, was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. Now, we talked all about this. We looked at what was happening, how this was an amazing picture. He approached the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God the Father. This one like a son of man is approaching the God the Father, and was led into his presence. Verse 14, he was given authority. Now we find out who this son of man person is. He was given authority and glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. That is the Christ, the Messiah. Goes further. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. What a great reminder. King Nebuchadnezzar, he was reminded, guess what? Babylon is going to disappear. Other kingdoms are going to come and they're going to disappear. United States, a massive world power. Don't be deceived. It will pass away. Maybe quicker than you think. Maybe that's a little bit of the chaos and confusion and the moral morass that we're in, is we just let it cycle downward and we keep living into the lie because we want to be embraced and accepted by a world that is antagonistic to God. But we get this picture. Remember I said that Jesus explained the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. He's standing before the high priest in Mark chapter 14, verses 61 to 64. The high priest asked Jesus, are you the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one? Don't think that they weren't reading Daniel. Don't think they weren't questioning what all the prophets and the writings were pointing to. And they're looking at Jesus because they saw his life. They saw how he lived. They saw the miracles. They saw the things that he was about. And they said, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And he utters, I am. Now you can say, I am. Or you can say, I am. Meaning the great I am, a reference to Yahweh when Moses said, who am I going to say is telling me to go, Pharaoh? And he says, you just tell him, I am sent you. Don't think they didn't hear the I am as not an I am, but an I am exclamation point. I am God. I am Yahweh. I am one and the same. He goes on. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, the Ancient of Days, and coming on the clouds of heaven. He's just quoting Daniel chapter 7. This is another Christ sighting. It's amazing to think about this. The high priest tore his clothes. I don't want you to miss any of this. Why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? I told you this was a supernatural book. You hear that question? What do you think? He wasn't just talking to the people there. He wasn't just talking to the other Pharisees and religious leaders. By the supernatural work of the Spirit, was pointing all the way to the 21st century into a small church in West Dundee. And God is asking you right now, what do you really think about the Christ, this one named Jesus? Well, you can see how they answered. They all condemned him as worthy of death. Sounds like our world, doesn't it? Our world is turning against Christians in all kinds of ways, in our morality, in our view of marriage, in our view of sexuality, in our view of culture, in the view of things that really matter. What do you believe about the Christ? Let's get to the third Christ sighting. Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 to 26. No one understand this. From the time the word goes out, the word going out there is the decree. We're now in the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus allows the Jews to go back. I say allows because they're the powerful kingdom. He said, okay, you can go back to Israel. You can go back to Jerusalem. And they start heading back. The word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one. Notice the next phrase, the ruler. So you have Christ and ruler right next to each other. Comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It'll rebuild with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. Daniel, by the Spirit, could look through time and see that this anointed one that was standing in the presence of the Ancient of Days is going to be put to death. That would blow your mind. How does God die? And the answer is, he doesn't. And what they could not conceive was that there would be a God-man, fully God and fully man. The man part dies. God can't die. He's spirit. He's eternal. This is just rocking their brains as they read this, as they think about it. So the 69 weeks, you have 7 weeks and then 62 weeks. Let's look at the 69 weeks that we're talking about. And I want to look at Acts. Peter's preaching, chapter 2 of Acts, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both ruler, that's what it said in Daniel, and Christ, Lord and Christ. God is the one who established Jesus Christ as this ruler over all, the anointed one. Just crazy. But I want to take it to apply to us. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. You can see it there on the screen. If we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, we'll certainly also be united with him in the resurrection like this. For we know that our old way of living, our old self, that's our old way of living. Are you living like the old self? Or are you living like the new self? Are you living like the way you really are? Or are you living like the way you were? He says, we have been united with him in death, we'll certainly also be united with him in the resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Let me just say, this is one of the most amazing mysteries of the New Testament. When you trust Jesus Christ, the power of sin in your life is broken, and you can now live in a whole new life freely. Let me wrap it up with saying this. The Christ sightings show the destruction of the world's kingdoms. That's why Christ was there. God's showing his power, as I said at the beginning of the message, and deliverance by the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one, through his death and demonstrated by his resurrection. God is doing unimaginable things. Let's pray. Father, you told us. You told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what you have in store for those who love you. There's an unimaginable plan, and God, we want to walk in it by your grace and your power. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.